Hello and welcome to the Developmental Services Ontario's podcast on step one of the Housing Toolkit entitled Exploring and Understanding Housing Needs and Wants and Creating Your Housing Plan. I'm your host, Val Baravi, Communication Specialist for DSO. In the studio with me today is Alexandra Shannon, who is the Housing Navigator for DSO Toronto Region, and Amber Armstrong, who is the Housing Navigator for DSO Central West Region. Welcome, Alexandra and Amber.
Thanks, Val.
Hello, Val. Thank you.
Alexandra, to get us started, perhaps you could tell us what the DSO Housing Toolkit is.
I'd be delighted to, Val. After consulting with stakeholders and the community, DSO Housing Navigators work to create a housing toolkit. We refer to it as a living library of resources, which we intend to update and expand as time goes on. The toolkit is available on the DSO website, and it's broken up into six sections. Although they are labeled as steps, you do not have to access them in the order that they are presented. The six steps are: step one, exploring and understanding housing needs and wants and creating your housing plan. Step two, reviewing housing options and locations. Step three, financing the plan. Step four, managing housing supports. Step five, building a plan that will support change. And step six, learning from others. As you mentioned in the intro, Val, today's podcast focuses on step one.
Thanks, Alexandra. Can you tell us a little bit about the purpose of the Housing Toolkit?
Sure, Val. Housing Navigators thought it would be helpful to create something which can be used to assist the process of creating a person-centered housing and support plan, no matter where a person and those supporting them are at in the planning journey. We know that this kind of planning usually takes time and that people will often tell us that they didn't know where to start or that they had begun to plan but were struggling to figure out what to do next. We wanted to bring together a collection of tools and resources and organize them in one place. We hope this will make it easier for people to consider a variety of options and find the information they need to keep the planning process going and meet their goal of moving to a home of their own with the supports that they need to be successful.
That sounds great, Alexandra. What can people do if they need help with accessing the Housing Toolkit or finding the information they're looking for?
Thanks for asking, Val. People can reach out to their local DSO Housing Navigator for help with this or any other questions they have about housing navigation.
Amber, I wonder if you can help us to understand what a housing and support plan is.
Sure, Val. So a housing and support plan will be the guide that helps you create and envision your personal plans for where you want to live and how you want to be supported, and will hopefully help you move forward towards putting that plan into action. In the Housing Toolkit, we provide a document that's called the My Housing and Support Plan. This document can be filled out online or printed off and completed by hand. Once you've completed it, you may want to keep it handy so you can refer back to it often during the planning process.
That sounds interesting, Amber. Could you tell us a little bit about the My Housing and Support Plan tool?
Yes, I can. So the document is broken down into several sections, starting with the personal information of the person for whom the plan is being created for, and the names of anyone else who will be helping them to create the plan. In the first part, called My Basic Information, you'll be asked to provide information on your current housing situation, your diagnosis, any funding and supports you currently receive, health or behavioral concerns, and what your timeline is for implementing your plan. The next part, called About Me, allows the person to tell a little bit about themselves by describing what is important to them about their home and how they prefer to be supported. Next, we provide you with a template called My Home Evaluation, which will ask you and your family and your support person, if you have one, to separately identify what is and what is not working with your current home environment. Based on your responses, you can then fill in what actions can be taken to build on the things that are working and how to improve on those that aren't. The next part is called My Housing Vision. It's a simple tool that helps you focus on four main needs, such as: what needs to be in my home? What does my surrounding community need to offer? What do I need in order to have a meaningful and productive day? And lastly, what professional services do I need? The next document in the plan, called My Housing Model, really helps you identify what model or type of housing appeals to you the most. For example, Is it a condominium, an apartment, living alone or shared living with a roommate or a friendly neighbor idea? Or maybe it's even a secondary suite in your current home. The next part provides a template called My Relationship Circle. This is where you will go to examine who is already in your life that can help support your goals. This is a great tool that will help you determine who you may wish to invite to participate in the planning process and which areas you may wish to work towards in building new connections, especially when someone might have a very limited support or social network. Now, this is where things get really interesting. The next part, called My Housing and Support Needs, provides you with a very detailed document that lets you fill in all your current and projected hours of support required to live as independently as possible. It's broken down by the hour, day, and week, including asking you to consider whether technology use could substitute for some paid hours and what funded support requirements are currently being met. Next, you will record what one-time expenses you will have, your available financial resources, and an expense report that will provide you with a financial summary. And last but not least, the housing and support plan provides you with a form called Next Steps for you to record what actions are to be taken next and by whom, as well as your projected target dates for achieving the next steps forward. You'll probably use this many times over the course of developing your plan. And just remember, nothing is carved in stone. This housing and support plan can be filled out more than once and changed a little or a lot, depending on your needs.
Alexandra, Amber mentioned the My Housing Vision part of the housing and support plan. What do you mean when you refer to a housing vision?
Well, a housing vision is a description of a person's hopes and dreams for where they want to live and who they wish to live with, as well as other important things to consider when creating a home of one's own. Your vision really answers five questions: who, what, where, when, and how.
That sounds interesting, Alexandra. Can you provide some examples of what this might look like?
Sure, Val. So for starters, who will you live with, if anyone at all? And who will help you with your goals and support? What kind of place do you want to live in? Maybe an apartment or a condo, a tiny house? What kinds of activities will you do throughout your day and week? Where do you want to live? Close to amenities, near a park or green space? When do you see this happening? What time frame? And how will this all take place? So the logistics of bringing your plan to life.
So Amber, what's the importance of a vision?
Well, it's difficult to develop a person-centered housing and support plan without first understanding what a person hopes to achieve or how they hope to spend their day. So a vision identifies what is important to a person and what will bring them the most happiness and meaning in their day-to-day life. Being clear on your vision for your home and where you want to live will help you to not settle for what others want. It is very important that the person for whom the plan or vision is being created for is participating in the process as much as they are able to do so. During this process, we encourage people not to get too caught up in what they think is realistic or possible. We suggest you think about what your housing vision would look like and identify the most important elements. Taking the time to dream big and share stories allows us to determine what is most important to us and why. This helps us to make sure that we take note of those key elements and find ways to incorporate them into the plan. So I'll give you an example. If a person shared that their dream housing situation is to live alone in a small cabin in the forest, we could explore that a little bit more, and we might find out that it's not the cabin in the woods that's important to them. But perhaps what appeals to them is that they wish to live in a quiet neighborhood, are close to woods and hiking trails, and maybe they'd like to decorate the inside with a rustic feeling that reminds them of a cabin.
Next, the housing toolkit touches on how to understand strengths and needs. Alexandra, can you talk about that a little?
I can, Val. When creating a person-centered housing and support plan, it's helpful to consider what strengths and skills you already have, where there might be opportunities to expand those skills or even build new ones. It's also useful to consider what supports you benefit from to work on skill building and live safely and successfully in a home of your own. While working to understand strengths and needs, we suggest that you look at what skills you already have learned and how you might try to expand them. What are some of the things you are not already doing that you might be able to participate more in? What are some activities that you would like to learn?
Alexandra, Does the Housing Toolkit offer any tools that can assist with understanding strengths and needs?
That's a great question, Val. Yes, the toolkit has a tool called My Support Needs. Amber touched on this already. This tool will help you to document the activities you participate in on a daily or weekly basis and where you benefit from support to complete these activities successfully. This may help you to highlight areas where you have strengths, as well as come up with ideas for where to work on skill building. It will also help you to identify your support needs so that you can plan for ways to meet those needs. We have also included a variety of tips and resources that can assist you to better understand your strengths and needs.
What about practicing and increasing skills? Does the toolkit touch on this at all, Alexandra?
Yes, it does, Val. The toolkit provides several ideas and resources to help a person begin thinking about ways to practice and build their skills, including a recommendation to connect with your local housing navigator to inquire about programs that might be available in your area. Some examples of these programs might include Safety for Independent Living, which is a course that has been created to help youth and adults with developmental disabilities feel safe in all their usual places, so home, work, school, online, and in the community. This comprehensive 8 to 10 hour safety program empowers people with tools to make confident choices and live a safe life. Another example is first aid training, and this can teach you ways to respond in situations where you or someone else is suffering from either a minor or serious illness or injury. It teaches strategies for preserving life, preventing conditions from worsening, and how to promote recovery. And as another example, trying it on for size. This is a program that's available in some areas of Ontario, and it allows you to participate in short-term stays in an apartment where you can learn and further develop your independent living, confidence, and decision-making skills. The toolkit also suggests using respite services or overnight camps to test different residential settings and types of support and staffing. Look for programs that really focus on teaching life skills and responsibility. Other ideas might include renting an Airbnb for a couple of potential roommates to test the waters, or even an efficiency hotel room for a weekend. You could have someone in your support circle check in on you, much like in a supported independent living model. There's an important note we'd like to add related to building on skills or learning new ones. It relates to the importance of primary caregivers, other families, and members of the support team, and the need for them to take a step back and allow the person they are supporting to take on more responsibility around the home and in their life. For example, they might have the opportunity to make their own lunch and snacks or participate more actively in the process of meal planning and grocery shopping, as just a few examples. It's important to resist the urge to do things for them out of habit or the desire for ease or speed. The process of increasing strengths and building new skills will not only provide a sense of confidence and accomplishment, but it may also decrease the amount of direct support needed to live more independently. For this to happen, there needs to be room to make mistakes and choices that others may not agree with while trying to discover where the gaps in skills are. Sometimes it can be worthwhile to consider hiring a worker or enlisting the help of a sibling, a cousin, an aunt, family member, or friend to provide coaching and support around building new skills. In some cases, this can yield more successful results as an alternative to a parent or caregiver taking on this role. The Housing Toolkit also includes a learning log tool, and this can be used to record what went well and what didn't go so well when working to build on a new skill. This can help you to plan for what to do to increase success next time you're working on the same skill.
Amber, I see that step one of the Housing Toolkit includes a section on using technology to increase independence. Can you tell us how technology might help increase independence?
Sure, Val. So technology can be an interesting and useful resource, and we encourage you to explore how it may fit into your plan. Today's technology can support increased independence in many ways. It can be used to support the teaching and learning of new skills, and to provide daily prompts and reminders. There are products which offer features that provide monitoring and assist with ensuring safety. In some cases, technology may be able to provide support in ways that can reduce reliance on direct personal support. This could potentially reduce the number of paid support hours you need. Technology can often be utilized to respond to a person's physical, medical, and cognitive support needs.
Amber, can you provide some examples of how technology might be incorporated into a housing and support plan?
Sure. So everyone needs a way to organize their day and check off items from a to-do list. A scheduling app may be just the thing to help you do this independently. And there are a variety of apps available in a range of different price points. Some are even free. Many people, including those with a developmental disability, have difficulty remembering when to perform key activities, such as taking medications, turning off appliances, attending appointments, remembering work tasks, or any other routine or non-routine activity of daily living. Scheduling apps come in different formats and with different levels of customization. They can help you to complete tasks independently and on time. So while this may reduce reliance on staff or an unpaid caregiver, this may also greatly enhance the person's independence and quality of life. A couple of examples are smart speakers. They are voice-activated technology that may help with independence by using them to offer reminders for medication and appointments, to verbally guide you through recipes, to set cooking timers, and make shopping lists, or in combination with smart plugs that turn on and off the lights, heating, and smart appliances. You can even purchase smart speakers with video displays like Google Nest or Echo Show that will show visuals such as YouTube recipes or other directions. If someone has a tendency to wander or get lost, then you might want to consider GPS tracking technology that can be simply slipped into the sole of a shoe or a tag that attaches to clothing. And the last example I'll share today is for what is called whole home technology. It incorporates apps and practical products that can all be connected together and provide real-time help, usually through a screen or a tablet. The possibilities with technology really are becoming endless.
The last topic of step one of the Housing Toolkit focuses on building a support team. Alexandra, can you explain what a support team is?
Another great question, Val. Lots of people have circles of support, community circles, support networks. There are lots of different names for this kind of support. A support team is made up of people in your life that help you work towards and reach your personal goals. These goals could be related to almost anything. For example, meeting new people, making new friends, or taking up a new hobby or learning a new skill. It can really be anything that's important to you. If you have a goal of moving to a home of your own, a support team is a group of people who might come together with you to help you with developing a housing and support plan. In some cases, they may even provide some of the supports that you need to make that plan a reality and keep it going once you move into a home of your own.
So how can people build a support team, Amber?
Well, Val, this process works best if it begins early on in a person's life, whenever a person has goals they want helped to achieve. Start to think about developing and nurturing those relationships that could grow into long-term supports over time and could eventually be in your support circle. It can be helpful to think about who you already have in your life and how they are connected to you. For example, family members, friends and acquaintances, or paid supports, coaches, and other people you know and see fairly frequently in the community. The My Relationship Circle document that I mentioned earlier can help with this. When thinking about the people in your life, you'd probably think of those that are the most important to you. So the people you have a strong connection with and who see your gifts and skills and show interest in your dreams and celebrate your successes. These may be the people you'd consider inviting to join your support team. When you're ready to create a support team, you can reach out to those people you'd like to include and set up a meeting to discuss your goals and how you'd like them to support you. You could also hire a planner or independent facilitator to help with this process. We've included a number of links to resources in the Housing Toolkit, and you can reach out to your local housing navigator if you need help with these resources, or if you are looking for a planner or facilitator in your area if the service exists.
Thank you, Amber and Alexandra, for your insight. I hope that this podcast session has helped our audience to understand step one of the Housing Toolkit and its many benefits. We'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and suggestions for future podcast topics to info@dsontario.ca or via our social media accounts at dsontario.ca. Thank you, and until next time.